I was eating junk. I had just had two children back to back.
I used to not be able to get on the ground.
I never, ever daily exercised.
Before, if I'd get down, I'd need a chair or something to help me get back up.
I was 84 pounds heavier at one time.
I was always a big dude, but I couldn't move around.
That all changed when they met Diamond Dallas Page.
I started doing yoga, man. I started doing a thing called DDP yoga. It's not your mama's yoga.
WCW heavyweight champion, known for his signature move, the Diamond Cutter.
Diamond Cutter!
Took what he learned recovering from an injury and years in the ring and created DDP yoga. This time,
it's your time. Working out combined with the eating habits, it was a huge difference. I felt so much better.
It's a lot of fun for me because I never used to be able to be active. Now I'm on the floor, I'm rolling around, it's pretty cool. More than importantly, I just want to be alive. I'm down about 110 pounds.
DDP yoga can work for anyone.
Bang!
DDP.
DDP.
Radio.
High five.
Hello, Team DDP Yoga. We're here at DDP Radio, right here at ddpradio.com. As always, my name is Mike Mullins, and I am joined by the one and only Robert McLaren, and Stacey Morris is off tonight. Robert, how you doing, brother?
Doing good, man.
I wish we could be coming to you under better circumstances, but that being said, it's going to be a very special edition of DDP Radio here tonight. Very special for numerous reasons. As most of you probably know, it's been a tough week for a lot of us who are either in the wrestling business or have watched wrestling for many, many years as we lost a true legend, a true giant in the wrestling business. And they throw around the word legend quite often and pretty liberally these days. But let me tell you, there is no truer personification of the word legend than the late, great American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Dusty was a huge influence and mentor to so, so many in the business. And none closer to our very own, Captain Diamond Dallas Page. There was no bigger influence in the life of DDP than Dusty Rhodes. And Dallas will tell you, he has said it in pretty much every interview he's ever had in the past 15 years, without Dusty Rhodes, there is no DDP, Diamond Dallas Page. And we are lucky to be joined by another friend of Dusty Rhodes tonight. I don't know if we have him on the line yet. Do we have Ray yet?
Yes, we do. Let me bring him in.
All right. He worked Rhodes for many years and was there when he saw the Dream do what he did up close and personal. He saw the magic right up close. And we're joined by Ray Lloyd, a.k.a. Glacier. Sorry to have you under these circumstances, but we really appreciate you coming on and talk to us tonight.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you guys for having me on. It's always an honor to be on the DDP radio with you guys. And, me and Luther Biggs, who was also, part of our posse there with Dusty, we're driving back from Tampa. We're at the memorial service today, and I can honestly tell you, it was the service itself. Obviously, was difficult for all of us, but there was it was a great example of Dusty and who he was as a professional and as a person. And I felt very, very fortunate to be there to see all of that. And Dustin spoke, Cody spoke. They both just amazing speeches about their dad. And he's a guy who, when the priest spoke, he said, he didn't know of anyone who had touched more lives, than Dusty Rhodes. And and that's a pretty bold statement, but one that I agree with. I mean, we've been fortunate enough to have known Dusty for so long, me and Luther and Paige. The thing is like, rarely would you ever hear of anyone that you would, bring Dusty's name up to that somehow didn't say, they either knew Dusty and they felt like they knew him, just from that connection that he had as a performer, he made people feel like every time he was doing a promo, he was talking to them, and he was the working class hero, so to speak. But it was just a beautiful service that really, allowed us all to celebrate the life of Dusty, and really feel very, very grateful to have the opportunity to be there today.
Absolutely. And first and foremost, to you and Luther and Paige, I've watched Dusty and admired him from afar for many, many years. My first memory actually ever watching wrestling in my life was Tully Blanchard and Dusty Rhodes in the cage for the U.S. strap. But as much as I love Dusty, you knew him personally, and Luther and Dallas, and I want to offer my condolences to you guys because, you know, you guys lost an important figure in your lives, and Dusty leaves a huge hole in the lives of so many people that he's touched. But I can't imagine going to a funeral in for Dusty Rhodes or talking about Dusty Rhodes in a tribute show like we're doing tonight and have it be like a down, solemn occasion, because Dusty brought so much joy and he was just so full of life. And when Robert broke the news to me, Robert actually texted me and told me the other day, I said to him, I said, you take the great ones for granted and you feel like someone larger than life like that will just be around forever. And, you know, I know that you worked personally with Dusty for many years, and how can you not be around someone like that and not learn so much from someone like that?
Oh yeah, you know, and I tell people all the time that even though when we were in WCW together, and you know, I had two childhood heroes outside of my parents, I had great parents, and that was Dusty and Evel Knievel, and and you know, I got to meet Evel Knievel briefly at one point, and then I got to really know Dusty, and you know, and it's so much that, you know, when I got married back several years ago, you know, I asked Dusty to be a groomsman at my wedding, and he accepted, graciously accepted, and you know, I said, you know, at my rehearsal dinner that night, I said, you know, rarely do people get to meet their childhood hero, and not only did I get to meet him, I got to become close friends with him, and that was just, you know, it's just amazing, you know, and but yeah, like you were saying too about Dusty, you know, there's everybody's got a great Dusty story or a great Dusty memory, and do you think about that? I mean, how much this man, like I said, how many lives he really touched, you know, as a person and as a performer, and you know, it's just we've laughed. We have some great stories over the last week about Dusty. And yeah, it is hard to say goodbye to him. But you know, it's just like Luther just said a minute ago. You know, the great thing about Dusty is the American Dream will never die. You know, he's going to live on through the stories and the memories and you know, through the match, you know YouTube, everything else. I mean, he's going to outlive us all. You know, so that his memory and his reputation will, and that's And there's still the next generations that are going to get to enjoy that, you know, even though physically he's not here anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, not only through the videos and through the people that he's taught, but also through his sons as well. And their kids, I'm sure, will be a part of the business as well.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. And that's the great legacy that you know, Dusty was always very, very big on family. And that was very obvious today. And just the things that were said, you know, about him, you know, from Dustin and Cody and anybody that knew Dusty knew that. But the thing is, you know, to think about the fact that the next several generations of people coming into the wrestling business will still learn from Dusty because of the fact that so much of what he did is preserved on tape and video. And so even though the man himself is not here, so much of that is still there for people to learn from. And so, you know, what a great way to be remembered that he's still going to be teaching people decades down the road, you know. And but yeah, it's I'm not going to sugarcoat it at all. It's hard to say goodbye to someone that you love and adored as much as we all did Dusty. And you know, when we were in WCW, like I said, I really didn't even know him all that well when I was in WCW, ironically, and I think I was still scared to talk to him at that point. But you know, once he started his own company right around 2000, right about the time that WCW was kind of finishing up that last year before they got bought out, you know, he started what was called Turnbuckle Entertainment, and out of that came Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling, and that's where, you know, we got all invited personally by Dusty to become a part of that, and that's what Luther and we were talking to Dustin and Cody today, is that, you know, that lasted for about 3.5 years, and I can honestly tell you, it was 3.5 years of the best years of my entire life, period. And that's what I take from knowing Dusty, is the fact that we got to know, you know, this iconic figure on such a personal level and learn from it. Learn from one of the very best that ever was. And also, you know, deal with all the personalities and everything that Dusty, you know, had to offer. And sometimes it was funny, sometimes it was terrifying. But it was always us spending time doing something that we loved and spending it doing with someone that we all truly just idolized, you know? So it was one of the best times of my life, and it feels the same way. And of course, you know, Paige was a big part of that too, when we all had all that going on. So, yeah, it, you know, there's a lot of great memories that I take from knowing Dusty, and it hurts like hell that he's gone. But one thing I learned from losing my dad 20 years ago, I had a great dad. As you know, my mom told me a long time ago is that, you know, you get, and I was pretty bitter about that. And my mom said, you know, you have to, you're looking at it all wrong. You're looking at what you don't have anymore instead of what you have had from, you know, having a great dad. And that's what I look at with Dusty is like, okay, yes, he is gone now. And we won't be able to have those laughs with him and learn from him anymore in person. But look at what we got out of those years of being close to him, you know. And then that's what we really treasure, you know, at that time that we did have with him.
Yeah. And we can talk about the great Dusty matches and promos and the archived videos and his sons, Cody and Dustin. You know, we can talk about that all day. But what we don't really see on the surface behind all those videos and the obvious is his contributions to the business that people don't really realize how much the modern day wrestling has Dusty Rhodes written all over it, from the nuances,
oh, yeah,
the subtleties of the business, and to the biggest, you know, possible things, the supercards, the Starcades, the WrestleManias. Those were all Dusty's contributions, and the things that he's done that lives on today, he shaped wrestling probably more than any single person has ever done in the history of the business. Dusty is written all over modern day wrestling today in ways that people don't even realize.
Oh yeah, and he has, and that's the thing, and he will continue to contribute to this business, like I said, for decades to come. I mean, I think probably as long as this business is around, Dusty Rhodes will still be a vital element of the industry. Because he has, you know, I read something that someone wrote the other day, and I forget who it was. I was just recapping his life and his career, and they talked about the fact that until before Dusty came along, all the, you know, quote unquote good guy wrestlers were their promos were all kind of boring, because at that point, the good guys were always the humble ones that, you know, that thanked the fans, and they never really gave the exciting promos. It was always the bad guys that gave the exciting promos. Then Dusty comes along. He was the first guy who really came out and said, you know, yeah, hey, I'm a badass, and I don't mind telling you I'm a badass. And I'm going to get on somebody, and I'm going to do this and that. And then all of a sudden people, you know, they were like, okay, you know, he's cocky, he's confident, but, you know, he's got a lot of soul and personality, and we love that, you know. And so he was that first guy who really turned that corner, you know, in wrestling to be that kind of, you know, personality. And then you look at how many iconic characters have come along after that. I say characters mean the people themselves, you know, like Stone, like Steve Austin, like The Rock. These people who come along and they are really just, you know, kind of layers of what Dusty started years ago.
Yeah, sorry, Dusty Rhodes, 270 pounds of blue-eyed soul, and Dusty could rap. Dusty was rapping before was even a thing, and Dusty had more legit soul than any 270-pound chubby blonde-haired Texas kid should ever be allotted. And Dusty had like soul, real soul, like the soul you can't teach. Like, I could try to be cool and try to be soulful, and it would be forced. It would be, you know, disingenuous. Right. But Dusty had that cool element to him that he just can't teach. It just comes naturally. You can't force cool. You can't teach cool. And Dusty Rhodes was just that cool baby face who just you wanted to be or be friends with.
Oh yeah, and the other thing too about him that I was so fortunate at being Luther both and a lot of the guys from Turnbuckle when we had that security Turnbuckle PCW was that, you know, I got to travel a lot with Dusty and just one on one just talk to him and learn from him, you know, and that's just a valuable time, you know. But like there was always just in a conversation, he never knew when some wise thing that he was going to say would just come out of his mouth, you know. And one of my favorite ones ever, and I will say this until my dying day, because it's one thing I've never heard anyone else in the business say, but Dusty, if he was telling a story about when he was wrestling Harley Race, and you know, and of course I'm all ears because just the fact that the element of that story right there, and he says, yeah. He always called me Raymond. He said Raymond. He said it was me and Harley Race. We're in St. Louis, Missouri. We were main event. It was sold out. He's driving, and he just stops the story right there, and he looks over at me very serious. He says, Raymond, it's very important when you're telling a wrestling story. You were always main event, and it was always sold out. Sorry, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, little things like that. Like, yeah, of course, I, you know, follow that up with the fact that one of Dusty's favorite sayings was, "Don't ever let the truth get in the way of a good story." So yeah, he was always somebody who could embellish the truth, but just to entertain you and maybe teach you a lesson along the way too. So.
And I know you spent, and Robert and I talked about this as well, and I know, Ray, you spent a lot of your life down in the Florida area, and there was no bigger star in Florida back in the day.
Man.
Talk about the Fort Homer Hesterly Armory in Tampa, Florida, every night working for Eddie Graham, learning from Eddie Graham, and the Dusty Rhodes was like Beatles status in Florida. He was...
Oh, yeah.
It was unbelievable. I wasn't alive back then, but I'm a pretty good wrestling historian, and I thrive off of all that stuff. And, you know, Dusty Rhodes in Florida was akin to, like, I don't know, just as big as a star you can get in a certain area when wrestling was very regional.
Yeah. I was going to say maybe Ric Flair in North Carolina.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and Flair has always, you know, been the one to say that, you know, that Dusty came along at a time when this country needed a working-class hero. And he was the perfect man for that, you know, and people just related to him. And he had, I mean, it's literally a once in a lifetime, you know, personality that he had, you know, and it's just, you know, you don't see that. I mean, like you said, a certain, so much of what Dusty was, I mean, I look at Dusty and I go, what in the world could Dusty have ever done but be in wrestling? You know, he's too much of a character to be doing anything else, you know, and I can say this with all honesty. And I say it with all the respect in the world, is that Dusty Rhodes was always Dusty Rhodes. He's just the American dream, with, you know, when the volume turned up when he's in front of the crowd, you know. But even when he's, you know, sitting across from you having a cup of coffee, whatever, he's still Dusty Rhodes, you know. And like I said, you just never knew what was going to come out of his mouth that sounded so cool, and you kind of just go, God, I wish I would have thought to say that. but he just had that. You know, he had a gift. He had a gift, and he took that gift and he mastered it. You know, it's just, you know, like I said, I feel so fortunate to have known him and have, you know, learned from him and you know, had the chance to be around him. You know, I mean, he was somebody that everybody wanted to be around, and you just, people just gravitated to him, and that's something that, like you said, you can't teach that. There's just a certain, you know, what he called the it factor, that he was, you know, he was the it factor personified. And, it was just, like I said, I mean, today was, it was just a really nice, a nice symbol of what he brought to this world, you know, over the last 69 years. I, like so many people, you know, if you almost think he wasn't human, that he would never die, as far as, you know, even physically, you thought, oh, he'll be here forever. He doesn't grow, you know? But you know, it's you know, this is reality, and like I said, I'm just very, very proud to say that I was able to spend some time with such a great personality.
You mentioned Dusty, and I think you put it perfectly when you said one of a kind. You go to Vince McMahon, you go to Triple H in the boardroom today, and try to pitch Dusty Rhodes. We're gonna have a chubby 270-pound blonde-haired Texas redneck that talks like a black guy, raps like a black guy, who's going to be, you know, the nation, the blue-eyed soul, blonde-haired, Texas redneck, little overweight, little chubby, wearing cowboy boots. I mean, you can't – there's nothing like that that's ever going to come along again. It's truly one of a kind. You can't – in a category. You can't write them on paper. You can't flesh out a character like that. It's just something too once-in-a-lifetime to ever come again.
Yeah, And the great thing about, you know, this, you know, Dusty, is that we were all, you know, smart enough to realize that, hey, this guy's something special. and to take all that in and just enjoy it, just be entertained by it, you know. He's somebody that comes along once in a lifetime that has that appeal, you know, where he can actually captivate an audience. I don't care if it's 5 people or 500,000. I mean, he had that ability to get to do that. And like I said, it's just such a pleasure to be able to say that I, you know, got a chance to learn from someone like that. I remember him always saying, he said it more than once to me. He said that outside of, you know, what he accomplished for his family, one of the things he was the most proud of was the fact he worked hard enough to build a name where you didn't have to preface his name with the word "the pro wrestler," you know, and that's true. I mean, I can tell you, there's people I mentioned Dusty too that I know are not wrestling fans, but they somehow know who Dusty Rhodes is. So that's a pretty big thing.
Yeah, it's kind of lucky in a way because, you know, there were so many of the great ones like an Eddie Guerrero who died way before his time. You know, there was a lot of appreciation for Dusty and his career with going into the Hall of Fame and all the accolades of you know, kind of like the retrospective of his career. So we in his case, we were able to appreciate him while he was still around.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and just that's the thing, too. Like, I know me and Luther both and everybody at TCW, like it was never a time that we took for granted that spot that we had to be learning from him, you know, because it was, as cool as it was still something we realized, you know what, I mean, yeah, this ain't going to last forever, you know. This is something really, really cool that not everybody, hardly anybody gets to experience, is to be around someone like him and learn from him and just like I said, just enjoy him, you know. I mean, he was such a, it was so much fun to be around him. And I mean, like I said, Dusty's human too, man. There were times when he'd go on, like I said, he'd go on the tirades too, you know, but whatever, we weren't doing right at Turnbuckle or whatever. But that was part of, you know, the charm of Dusty too, because he could turn right around and he could be that father figure that you could have that heart to heart talk with and get some real world advice on. And he would come down from the persona of Dusty Rhodes and just be Dusty, your friend, you know, and or advisor or teacher or, you know, whatever, just to, you know, be real, you know, and that to me was just a really cool thing that you know, we got to see those different layers of Dusty, you know, and which a lot of people, the general public, you know, unfortunately didn't get to see, but I think they always kind of knew they were there just based on the way Dusty always presented himself. So yeah, it's like I said, it's a hard thing to say goodbye to him, but you know. He brought a lot of happiness to this world in the 69 years he was here, you know, and that's something to where, you know, not everybody can say that. and the great thing is he touched so many more people's lives than he would have ever possibly been able to know, you know, and that's, I tell you what, that's a pretty cool thing to be able to know that you touched lives of people that you'll never even meet, you know. That's a cool thing.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was just talked about the legendary Dusty stories. Him telling, you know, every story sold out. They were hanging from a rafter. Turned him down at the door. Hundreds turned around. You know, the legendary Dusty stories. If I could indulge you for 1 second, I spent some time with Bruce Prichard a few years ago, quite a bit of time, and he told me one of my favorite stories that I've ever heard in the wrestling business. And if you could indulge me for a second, I'd like to just tell it real quick. It's a quick story. Bruce was telling me that Dusty and him were riding down the road, and they used to ride together quite a bit. And Dusty at one point was actually voted by some major publication as the most recognizable athlete in the world. He was legitimately voted that. So everywhere he went, he'd say, "I'm Dusty Rhodes, the most recognizable athlete in the world." And he would go off and go off. And Bruce was riding down the road one time, and it was when Bruce was doing the Brother Love thing in the WWF. And they're riding together, and they get pulled over by a cop. And Dusty's big about, "I'm the most recognizable athlete in the world." And Bruce, you know, gets pulled over by the cop. The cop rolls down the window. He's like, "You know how fast you were going?" And he's like, "No." He's like, "You were going 75. He's like, "I could have sworn I was going 60. He's like, "I think you were going 75. And Bruce is like, "I'm pretty sure it was 60. He's like, "Wait a minute. Are you Brother Love from the WWF? Annoyed in the passenger seat. And he's like, "Well, yes, I am." And he goes, "Oh, I'm a big fan." Goes off, goes talking how much he loves Brother Love, and Dusty Rhodes chimes in, "I'm the most recognized athlete in the world, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. He was going 75 and his blinkers out." getting all annoyed that Bruce was getting put over by the cop.
I can totally believe that.
that was one of my favorite Dusty. But back in. You know, I remember when the American Dream was born, when he turned on Pac Song against Eddie and Mike Graham, the Homer Heskley Armory, Tampa, Florida, and the American Dream was born, and that was one of the biggest nights in the history of professional wrestling. If you hear the crowd go crazy on that vintage footage, it's like nothing they have today. A lot of the wrestling fans are too cool to cheer, you know, set in their hands and analyze the match, but Dusty was one of those guys that could just make the crowd just fly off their feet.
Yeah, well, and I feel that the big part of it was because Dusty, when Dusty went out there, perform, I mean, it was real to him. You know, it was real. I mean, you know, I mean, he, you know, he felt it in, every, you know, fiber of his body that, what he was doing was, you know, real. And you know, because you go back and, like you said, you watch the vintage footage of it. I mean, you know, you have to believe what you're doing in order to, you know, for other people to believe. You know, that's one of the things that I remember at Turnbuckle when we were training all the, you know, the guys there. He'd always say, hey, you got to believe in yourself before anybody else is going to, you know, you believe what you're doing, you know. And you know, he just exuded that, you know. And like you said, I mean, he had this combination of all these different elements that you know, it's so rare that no one else, I know, I've never seen it with anyone else, you know? So it's that rare, you know. And and you know, he's just he's one of those guys that, you know, not to say, never say never, but I just, you know, in my lifetime, I don't think I'll ever see, you know, as captivating of a personality as him, you know. And and like I said, I just feel so lucky to have been able to get to know him, you know, because I never even thought I'd meet the guy, you know. And then, you know, when I got, you know, came on board with TCW to help him with that, and we all, like I said, we were talking to Cody today about how it was just so cool, because it was literally, we're like a team. And then that team was led by, you know, our head coach was Dusty. And everything we did, he oversaw every bit of it. You know, we had the territory, the TCW territory that we ran. And I learned more about wrestling during that period than any, you know, even after my WCW and all that. And I learned more after that than if we were learning from, you know. And it was just, you know, like I said, it was one of the coolest experiences of my life. And I'm so glad I had a chance to actually experience it. But also, I was going to tell you guys, I got Luther's Riding Shotgun in here, so if you want to maybe have him chime in and tell you a little bit of what, he's got some great Dusty stories too.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I was actually, you know what, because I assumed that he was driving, because I was going to suggest, hey, let's get Luther on the phone too. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to have him shoot the breeze a little bit.
Yeah, hold on one second. I'll pass the phone over to him.
Hey, Robert, how are you?
Doing good, brother. How you been, man?
Good, buddy. Good. Let me tell you something. We're riding back here tonight, just feeling so blessed to have had the opportunity to know Dusty. Man, to have worked for him for 3 years, it was a fantastic experience. And, you know, I mean, I don't sugarcoat things. The truth is, man, Dusty, he definitely could stomp on you, and he could definitely be tough on you, you know. And one of the boys, both of his sons gave unbelievable eulogies. I mean, they were just both fantastic. And I can't remember which one of them it was, but talked about how one of them one of them said how Dusty would find whatever it was in you that was hurting, you know, whether you were overweight or whether you had family problems or whatever it was. And, you know, he found a way to build you back up. And, you know, the wrestling business, man, is tough. And it can be ugly. And, you know, one thing about Dusty, man, you know, he was a straight shooter. I mean, if you weren't doing right, he'd let you know. And he would beat you down, and he might crack your soul a little bit, but he would never break your soul. He would never destroy your dream. And even if you were cracked a little bit before you knew it, you know, you all of a sudden started feeling better and better before you knew it. And he just found a way to build you back up, man, and bring out the best of you. And I'm so grateful. I can't tell you. It worked for him, and to have known his family. And it just, you know, it's, I never thought I'd have that opportunity. I watched Dusty as a kid. I watched him in college. I idolized him. He's gone from this earth now, but they will never, ever bury the American dream.
Luther talked about Dusty, who could be brutally honest at points, and that's what you really need in a mentor. You can't have a mentor that's going to be a yes man and tell you, you know, blow smoke up your ass all day, tell you how great you are all the time. If you're going to make any improvements or be anybody in this business, you need someone to tell you that you're screwing up. You need someone to tell you when you're not doing your job right and how you can do it better and get things to fix it. And you can see that Dusty was a born teacher, as evident. I don't watch much wrestling nowadays, but you can see it in the kids that he's taught recently. He spent a lot of time in the school down there in Orlando.
teaching young kids how to do promos. And, you know, there's no better teacher than somebody who's going to be a straight shooter. And he came from a time in the business that was different. You know, Dick Murdoch and him running together, that was pretty hardcore old school stuff. And he knows how to teach people that old school method that will work, the connection with the audience that they don't have nowadays, that you can't teach, something that you have to absorb from someone like Dusty Rhodes.
No, you're right. And no one will ever equal what he did as far as reaching the people. I just don't see, you know, you can never say, I hate it when people say, well, this record will never be broken or no one will ever equal this. But I just don't think that anyone will ever reach people the way that he did. And he was just such a unique personality. And, you know, it was just, you know, I spent 3 years in the WCW power plant, and I have a lot of respect for Paul Orndorff, and I like Paul. But one thing that Paul did not like is if you did not have a bodybuilder physique, he did not want anything to do with you. And I think that's a mistake in the business today, and it was 10 years ago. I mean, there are plenty of guys that can go out there and perform that don't look like bodybuilders. And, you know, it's not as common as it was in Dusty's era, but, you know, it's like one of his sons said today, you know, if that was your weakness, you know, he made you feel good about it. And I never had a bodybuilder's body. But, you know, he gave me the confidence that I could go out there and be a performer and that I could, you know, I could succeed in this business. And listen, I'll never have made a scratch on this business compared to what I wanted to do. But those 3 years that I spent with him will always be just absolutely, no, I just can't put it into words. You know, we had the best time traveling up and down the road with him, running those towns, Live Oak, Florida, Alabama. I mean, that's not St. Louis, Missouri. That's not Detroit, Michigan. That's not Charlotte, North Carolina. But when we were in those towns, you know, we were on top of the world. And he gave that to us, and it was at a perfect time. Like Ray and I have both talked about, it was so fantastic that, you know, right when WCW was coming to a close, that we had a chance to go and work for somebody like him. And I will forever be grateful to him for just the unbelievable memories and what he taught me and just the fun that we had. You know, someone said a long time ago, if wrestling's not fun anymore, you shouldn't be doing it. Man, I tell you, he made it so much fun. And you know, he's in our hearts forever.
Hey, absolutely. And you talked about the Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling promotion that he did back in the early 2000s. I'm of the old school classic stuff. He treated that almost like the last territory, if I'm not wrong. He mended a lot of old school and new school together to make a really unique product that I really wish would have stayed around a lot longer, because, you know, if anyone could do it, you know, to the point where it needs to be done, it's Dusty Rhodes. And he had a great group of guys he had over there on Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling that if I could have seen that thing blowing up and getting big at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish that, you know, you always wish that something could have been bigger and that it could have gone on longer. But I'll tell you what, for me to have had the opportunity to get in the ring and work with Manny Fernandez, I mean, my goodness, you know, I mean, what an experience. To have wrestled Ricky Morton, to have been in the ring with Barry Windham, I mean, it was just fantastic. And yes, he had his students, the guys that he was bringing up, and he trained them well. You know, the thing about it is it's so hard to explain the oppressive feeling sometimes in a big company like WCW. You know, there's a hierarchy there. You're the low man on the totem pole, and there are definitely people that won't let you forget that. But, you know, you turn from that to working with one of the biggest stars in the world of all time, and he did nothing but make you feel at home, part of it, and like you were somebody. And I mean, I went from my short time in WCW from, I don't want to say that I was beat down, but it was just empty, to all of a sudden just feeling like I was on top of the world. I was working with one of the biggest stars in the world. And he was, man, he was one of the, you know, I think he was the biggest, you know, to me, no one was bigger. Yeah, you know, and you know, you talk about work in the ring or your physique or your persona. No one's persona was bigger than Dusty's. And I just think wrestling more than anything is reaching the people. And that's something that is lost on a lot of people, you know, on a lot of the performers today. But no one reached the people like Dusty did. And that was just spectacular. So I'm just so humbled to have had that opportunity. And like I said, I will never, ever forget him. And I will never, ever forget the wonderful times, the times. And we have so many stories from these trips, you know, our North Carolina loop, our trips to Florida. It was fantastic. And I wish it could have gone on forever.
You brought up a great a while back. You mentioned that Dusty's physique and how back in the day that was a regular occurrence. You had the guys, the old school guys with the beer bellies and the trunks. And to think about something like Dusty Rhodes, somebody who connected with the people nowadays, that modern wrestling would have cast off because he didn't have the body. And the fact that you're potentially missing out on a Dusty Rhodes or somebody of that level because you're kind of narrowing the viewpoint to only looking for these bodybuilder guys. And a lot of bodybuilder guys, you know, can work and can talk, but you're casting off a big chunk of people that could potentially captivate a nation, not as Dusty Rhodes, but, you know, they probably would have cast off someone who looked like Dusty Rhodes nowadays. And imagine if Dusty Rhodes was never a part of wrestling in America or the world.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's something there, and I can't articulate it the way that I want to, but I'll never forget one of our best friends, me and Ray both, with Canyon. And Canyon sort of put it in perspective at one point, you know, saying that wrestling was getting away from the people that really loved wrestling because they didn't have the physique. And he said something to the effect that, you know, you bring in these bodybuilders, you bring in these guys that look great, and yes, they can do the moves, and yes, you know, they can get in front of the camera and talk, but they got into wrestling because somebody looked at them and said, hey, you know, you've got a great build. You should be a wrestler. And they said, well, you know, yeah, that's probably a way to make some money. But they weren't necessarily the guys that grew up living and breathing this stuff and dreaming of it and wanting so badly to have the best matches. I just think that a lot of the guys that have these great physiques, and don't get me wrong, there are plenty of guys that have great physiques that love the business. I'm not saying they don't. But Canyon made the point that, you know, it takes a little while to have an effect, and Canyon's point was near the end of WCW that maybe we were getting to that point where we were getting so many of those guys that didn't necessarily want to watch old tapes and get creative and find a way to make their match the best. That was sort of hurting the business, that these guys were, well, you know, this is good enough. You know, I can do this move and I can do that move, and I'm telling a story to some degree. But they just didn't have it in their heart. And, you know, Dusty's a guy who had it in his heart, man. You know, and he spread that to all of us. And so we were so lucky. I can't put it into words.
You know, Dusty was one of those guys, you articulated it well, you know, teaching these big guys how to do moves. You can teach a monkey how to do moves. Dusty was the guy who made the moves matter, made you feel the moves, the method between the moves. Sometimes Dusty can get more out of turning his head to the crowd and getting a pop and getting the crowd jumping to their feet, and then guys can get off of the biggest high spot. You know, Dusty had method behind his move. He knew how to mess with the audience. He knew how to bring them up. He knew how to bring them down. He knew how to... You know, he knew when to pop them. He knew when to, you know, look to the crowd or when to slap on a move. You know, moves aren't wrestling. Wrestling is the emotion in between the moves, the reasoning behind them. And Dusty was one of those masters who, you know, unfortunately with him went a whole bunch of knowledge that he passed on to a lot of people, but I feel like he had so much more to give, and the wrestling business has lost a great, great teacher in Dusty Rhodes.
Well, that's exactly right. And what you're talking about there when you talk about, you know, looking to the fans or when to do something, it's a simple word. It's called timing. And I'll never forget sitting down with Jody Hamilton, who I have more, you know, as much respect for Jody as anybody. I love Jody, man. He was the man at the power plant when the power plant was really the power plant. I mean, he was really, really, he was an inspiration. I mean, and, you know, and Jody's still around, and thank God that we still have guys like him around. But I asked him one time about the guys that he worked with, and he said, as far as timing went, I got to say, I think it was Dusty Rhodes. Dusty had the best timing. He knew when to do things. And that's exactly right. And, you know, again, I don't know that anyone will ever have that really deep down in their heart, deep down in their soul. Just it, I think that that's one of those things that's not necessarily taught. It's something that you're born with. And he had that timing. So, you know, it's a shame that he couldn't have been around a lot longer to try and convey that to other guys. But, like I said, Dusty's gone, but they will never bury the American dream.
Oh, absolutely not. The legend will live forever, and it really will through archived video. And I know WWE is a lot of people's enemy, but at least we have a company that's preserving and has those tapes in a vault somewhere and has those protected so that for years to come, those libraries of videos will, if not accessible, they'll be around and alive and survive. And Dusty Rhodes can be discovered hundreds of years from now. You know, you talk about wrestling was very regional back when Dusty started, and he was a big star in Florida. But people don't realize that as big of a star as Florida as he was a national star too. He came up to Madison Square Garden to work with superstar Billy Graham. They did three matches at MSG where Dusty had never had a presence in New York before. And they sold that arena out, no problem, all three matches. And Dusty was one of those guys that just transcended the territories, transcended Florida, where he was a big star. He was a star, and Dusty Rhodes was a star, and that's something you can't teach. When you know when you've got somebody who's just transcends, you know, the area or the territory or the genre, and he was just a star.
Oh, yeah. You know, and you touched on something there as far as the libraries. I mean, what a great thing, man, that there's something out there now called YouTube. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. I can remember back in the day, you know, when I was at the power plant 20 years ago, and we would drive across five states to get a tape, you know, from something from back in the early 80s. I mean, just, we had heard about, you know, so-and-so, and you need to watch how he worked, and it was like, well, we had no way to see how that person worked. And we would do anything to get those tapes. And when the internet first came out, I can remember Canyon and I, you know, getting on there and writing to people and guys that had tape libraries. And Canyon would agree to meet and have lunch with someone if they would supply us with Mid-Atlantic tapes. You know, I've got four Mid-Atlantic tapes from, you know, 1982. And Canyon would say, well, I'm going to be in Kansas next week. You know, I'll go to lunch with you if you'll give us copies of those. And those things were like gold, you know.
Yeah.
Now you can literally look it up on your phone. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. The kids.
He had a legendary tape collection.
Oh yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
The kids today don't get the hustle behind the tape trading. I mean, I did it when I was younger. You know, it was a hustle, and you would have gems that you'd look for now. And even like kids nowadays, you know how hard we worked when we were younger to see a naked woman? These kids have it made, man.
Hey, bro, I mean, touch that, but, you know, we all know it's out there. Yeah.
But this has been a blast, and I thank you so much for coming on and talking about Dusty Rhodes. You, Luther, and Ray, I know you guys spent a lot of time with Dusty, and my condolences go out to you. I watched from afar for many years, admiring and just empowered and encouraged by his work. And you guys lost a friend today, so I want to give you guys my condolences. And we had a cool show today, just memory of Dusty Rhodes and celebrating his memory. It wasn't supposed to be a sad, down show. We wanted to spend it like Dusty would live it, have a lot of fun, and talk about some great stories. So thank you guys so much for coming on with us tonight.
No, and let me just say this. You know, I want to say something about the service today. It was not a sad thing, because it truly was one of those rare times that you go to a memorial service and it was a celebration. And if there's one thing that came through, it's that Dusty was all about family. And obviously no one was held closer to his heart than his family, his boys, his daughters, his beautiful wife, who is just one of the most gracious people that I've ever met. But he treated a lot of us like family, too, and we'll never forget that. And so that's the biggest thing I took away. And, you know, there's nothing better than a man who loves and cherishes his family. And that's what I remember Dusty for. And so we thank you. And Ray wants to say a couple last words here, and I appreciate the time you've given me here. So thank you. And here's Ray.
All right. Thanks, Luther.
Thanks, Drew.
Hey, Ray. Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, nothing. I tell you what, man, I can't hardly follow that. Luther did a great job of, you know, everything. So, remind you guys, we actually, we dropped Paige and Brenda off at the hotel there at the end, and we got a chance just to, you know, the four of us to sit there and reminisce, you know, about Dusty a little bit too, which was awesome, you know, and anybody that knows Paige knows, like you guys were saying earlier, that, you know, how much of an unbelievable influence, you know, Dusty was on Paige's life and career.
Yeah.
And he'll still continue to be, you know, because there's lessons. It's like we're talking about, like, the lessons that we learned from Dusty, we'll still keep learning from it, you know, just because of, that's just the kind of magnetic personality he was.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And that's exactly how you put it, magnetic. People were drawn to him, whether it was fans tuning into a television show, whether it's the boys in the back of the locker room, whether it's someone he meets at the grocery store. He had a personality that people were drawn in by Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, you're right. And I was just thinking when Luther was talking there how, it, what could have been a very dark period in our lives professionally when WCW was bought out and went away, turned out to be one of the greatest periods of our lives because of Dusty. Because I don't know what we would have done wrestling-wise, you know. I'm sure I would have, I can tell you, me personally, you know, I had an opportunity. I was talking to WWE like a lot of guys were at that time because, you know, I was still wanting to stay employed, obviously. And they, you know, were making me an offer to you know, maybe come on board there. And I went to meet with Dusty and I sat down. Not too much of the whole discussion, but in one conversation, Dusty Rhodes convinced me why I need to come work with him instead of go anywhere else. And I can honestly tell you, I absolutely never regretted that decision for a second. It's the one person that I know that Dusty, there may have been others, but I know for a fact he looked up to John Wayne. And to me, Dusty was our John Wayne. You know, I mean, that's what I felt like I was in that, the presence of that type of person, you know, when we were around him, because even though we were close to him, there was still that part of that just like, wow, it's Dusty Rhodes. No matter how much you get to know him, you still pinch yourself sometimes and go, man, I'm hanging out with Dusty Rhodes. It was just, you know, like I said, to know Dusty, and I think it was Cody that said it today, you know, to know Dusty for 5 minutes, you would have felt like you were an incredibly lucky person, you know, and I can echo that 100 times over.
And that's absolutely 100% amazing. And I know Robert and Dallas and I and went on vacation to the DDP Yoga Retreat with Dustin Rhodes about two years ago. Dustin came to the DDP Yoga Retreat, and I had a great time talking with him several times over dinners or drinks or whatever. And we talked about Dusty, and Dustin was telling us how Dusty had really finally taken his health into consideration and was really trying to cut some weight, which he did in the past couple of years, cut a lot of weight. But when we talked to Dustin, you could see the respect that he has for his father. Not just the respect of a wrestler, but just man. He knew that Dusty was a good father and a good man. And I know Dustin and him had their issues back in the day, but they came together and they loved each other so much. And just to talk to Dustin and talk about his father and tell Dustin what his father meant to my life and just watching him and hearing him tell stories, you could see the respect and the love he had for his father.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and another great reason why Turnbuckle was such a great thing for all of us, that was that period where Dustin and Dusty reunited. And Dustin came on with us as part of that team to become, because at the very beginning of TCW, they weren't on good terms. And that atmosphere, that team family atmosphere that Dusty created for Ted Turnbuckle is one of the reasons that brought Dustin and Dusty back together as father and son. And, you know, and it was like I said, that was I know we kind of harped on the turnbuckle years there, but maybe hopefully people that are listening, that might be something that they might not have ever heard about, but that era of Dusty's life, that where he really did do a lot, because he gave a lot of wrestling fans the first go with, like Luther said, one of the biggest stars in the world, you know, and where they may never had that opportunity if he didn't care enough about creating a company that would allow for that to happen, you know, for fans and for us, you know, and so it's, you know, he's accomplished a whole lot in his life. Like I said, he crammed more life into 69 years than I think any player could ever possibly think he could. And, he's just one of those people that, you know, from the biggest celebrities to the most humble people in the world, everybody knew who he was and everybody just wanted to be around him. I don't care who it was, you know. And he will be so truly missed. He really will, but never forgotten. And that's what's important, is that never, ever will he be forgotten.
Absolutely. And as we wrap things up, I'll say something as a fan that I noticed from Dusty Rhodes. I wasn't big into the ECW stuff. I wasn't really a huge fan of that style. But I remember watching probably about 99-ish, and Dusty Rhodes came in. And he probably could have gone in there and worked with any of the top stars that he wanted to, any of the big name, you know, guys who was working in that company. But I remember a story that he requested to work with Steve Corino. I'm not too familiar with him, but I know he was a young kid, and Dusty seemed very giving. Like, he wanted to put this kid on the map. He wanted to give this guy a chance to get to the next level. He didn't want to go in there and work and go over the strap over a big star. He wanted to take a kid who was on the cusp and bring him over to that next level. And Dusty, that's who Dusty was, very giving as a performer. If he could make you look better in your position, he would do that. If he could take you to that next level or teach you something to that next level, he would do that.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it's what Luther, you know, was commenting on what was said at the service today, was that, you know, here's Steve Corino, the incredible performer, but, you know, someone who was, you know, very average size, you know, as far as wrestling goes, but someone like Dusty comes along and says, you know, there's something about this guy that I really like, and there's something I think is marketable about this guy, and so I'm going to take these things that some other people might look at as being a negative for this business, like maybe not being too big or whatever, and saying, I'm going to show everybody that this guy can get over, you know, what a huge honor for Steve, and you know, Luther and I both know Steve very well, and once again, Steve came through the turnbuckle years there, you know, while he was still doing some ECW stuff, Dusty brought him in a lot, and we all got a chance to experience the rub, so to speak, from Dusty, which was amazing, you know, and like I said, I mean, he's just a once in a lifetime person that we both, you know, so many people that it just, you feel truly, truly blessed to have spent 5 minutes with the guy. You know, I mean, he was just that magnetic of a personality where he made, I don't care who it was, he could make you feel like $1 million. You know, he really could.
And as big a name as Glacier is, I know you were a huge star in your own right in WCW. Just being linked to Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling, having your name in the history books next to Dusty Rhodes, not just you, but even the biggest guys on the planet, having your name next to Dusty Rhodes in the history books automatically elevates anybody that is with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the perks of being fortunate enough to be allowed into that posse, so to speak, is what Dusty always called it, you know, is that, you know, that's all you ever have to say is like, you know, like, you know, I was part of Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling with Dusty Rhodes, and, you know, and that's huge, because anybody, and I mean anybody that I know in the wrestling business, but at that time when we were in, I mean, still basically we're an independent wrestling company, but I mean, it was an all-star roster, you know, I'm just saying that, I mean, he brought in Barry Windham, he brought in, you know, Manny Fernandez, you know, Larry Zbyszko, all these people that no one else would really be able to bring together. And they, I'm sure, all did favors for Dusty as far as like what they were willing to come in for, simply because it was Dusty, you know, because, you know, that's just, like I said, that was what it was like to just be around him and work with him. And, it was just an amazing experience. And, you know, thank God that we were able to experience that, because, I don't know if anybody wouldn't have wanted to take advantage of that, you know, so to be around that environment, that atmosphere, it's just learn, and like Luther said, just have fun. I mean, my gosh, I mean, you guys know. I mean, you've been around the wrestling business long enough. I mean, there's enough miserable people in this business.
Yes.
One thing about being around Dusty and all that time we were, that we had a lot of fun. And at the end of the day, if it were just that, it would have been worth it. But there was so much more good about it. But we had a great time. And the main reason that we did is because Dusty was at the ring. He was at the head of all of it. And he made it fun for all of us.
Very well said. And once again, Ray, Glacier, Lloyd, Luther Biggs, thank you guys so much for sharing what Dusty meant for you tonight. It was a great show, and we really appreciate you coming on tonight. And my condolences are with you both. You lost an amazing person in your life, as did the entire wrestling universe. And, you know, you guys said it really just great. You articulated it very well, what Dusty meant to you. And hopefully some of our listeners will get a chance to experience that, whether it's through classic footage or through old Dusty videos or through their sons and Dustin, or I'm sure if you look at Ray or Luther, you know, in their matches, I'm sure you can see some stuff from Dusty in their performance as well.
Oh,
so
yeah,
thank you
absolutely.
So much for coming on tonight.
Well, thank you guys, and you know what, I mean, I have to say that I think it was good therapy for both of us to be able to have some time to express how much Dusty meant to us, so thank you guys for that.
No, anytime,
thank you,
man.
So much. And we appreciate it. And you know, anytime you want to come on, Ray, you know you're always welcome here. We love having you.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. You guys know how much I love Paige. I love BDP Yoga. I mean, I shout it from the mountaintops to whoever listens. Well, thank you again. And definitely thank you for having us on. And we look forward to talking to you guys sometime here in the near future, okay?
All right, great. Thank you so much, guys.
All right, thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Take care. Really quick, Robert, if we could, just to wrap things up, I want to get Josh McAdoo on real quick because Josh had something to say he wanted to put out there about Dusty and how Dusty actually influenced his certification with DDP Yoga and learning how to speak and articulate the product. So we're going to bring on Josh McAdoo real quick. We have time for one caller. Hello, Josh.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, sorry to keep you on so long, brother.
Oh, it's all good. I really enjoyed listening to the show and stuff, and appreciate you guys getting me on. And I just want to tell my little Dusty Rhodes thing real quick. I got to go to Vegas and surprise Paige at the Cauliflower Alley stuff, and you know, there's speculation on is Dusty gonna induct him and whatnot, and it's like, oh my God, I get to meet Dusty Rhodes, you know, and I was kind of freaking out about that. Some of the other guys, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, I get to meet these guys that I grew up idolizing. But Dusty was the one that I was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to like say anything to him, you know, because he was the guy that, you know, really took my certification to a different level. You know, I needed to have more tone and attitude and to be able to pass my videos and kind of bring this, I don't know, Josh McAdoo character out and into life and turn him up to, you know, a 7 or 8 in a class and make it interesting and watching Dusty over and over. And I've already done that for years and years and years, but watching those promos over and over again really helped me kind of get, I guess, you know, a character out of me, you know, like we've talked about before. And so I was looking forward to being able to see Dusty and say, you know, like tell him this and be like, hey, you know, this is what you meant to me. And not just from the wrestling world, but just from, you know, who he was and, you know, what he stood for and just how you could listen to him talk for hours and hours about nothing. And you would just hang on every word. And I was very disappointed that he didn't make it. And I understand that he wasn't up for the trip and feeling well at the time, back in April there. And, I was really bummed because I was hoping to be able to, you know, meet, this legend of a man and an idol of mine. And, so, that's kind of my story, with Dusty. And I just, I can't say enough about him. And, you know, it's been, this one hit home with me a lot because of that, you know, and it's sad when anybody passes away that you look up to or whatnot, but this one was especially hard for me. And, you know, to all the people that are super close to him, I can't imagine what they're going through, and my, you know, thoughts and prayers go out to them. So, and I appreciate you guys allowing me to tell my story and kind of put it out to the universe, and maybe it finds its way to Dusty, you know, somehow. So.
Man, well, thank you for calling, brother. We appreciate you sharing your story. I told you I'd get you on, man, and glad we got you on here tonight.
Appreciate it very much, guys.
All right, man. Yeah. I will talk to you later.
All right. Take care, guys.
Take care,
Robert. You know, Robert, what a great show. And I want to thank Robert. You got Ray on the show for us tonight, and it was an amazing idea. Really just great to have him on. I didn't even think to ask him. And Robert, you know, great idea, brother.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I knew that he had he's talked to me about Dusty before, so I knew he had a history with him. So, you know, and you got to say a lot for Ray, because he spent, you know, he's driving back from Tampa. He spent probably 3 or 4 hours at a funeral and you know, whatever functions they have around that. And it had to have been incredibly emotional and tiring day. But he still, you know, kept his word and did the show with us tonight after all that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ray is such a great guy. And Luther, too. That was my first time talking to Luther. But yeah, as you said, Robert, just an emotionally draining day. And 9 o'clock on the dot, Ray was there. Great stories. And like you said, it was kind of therapeutic for him, too. So it was kind of nice. I'm sure he enjoyed, you know, telling some old Dusty stories. And real quick, before we go, I know you're a Florida born and bred guy, and how big Dusty was in Florida. You know, what was your, you know, memories? What was your, you know, Dusty Rhodes moment in your life?
Dude, I don't even remember how old I was. I was probably like 7 or 8, and we would go down to the Eddie Graham Sports Stadium once every few months, and we'd see like the great guys like Ric Flair and Harley Race, Barry Windham, Blackjack Mulligan, you know, all those guys. And but I always remember seeing Dusty there, and you know, we'd see, you know, Dusty and Flair and Dusty and Harley Race, and the way that the crowd responded to him, I think that was one of the things that really, because we, you know, watched wrestling on TV, but it wasn't until you see it live and you kind of feel that energy and the connection that the crowd has with the wrestler. That's what I think when you really get turned on to it. And Dusty was one of those guys that really took it to a whole new level for me. Anyway, you know, it was pretty cool seeing Big John Studd back in the day, though. But you know, because he was a huge dude. But I had a lot of memories from seeing Dusty perform, and that's probably, seeing him in the ring is probably my earliest wrestling memory that I have.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And Robert, unfortunately, you were the one that broke the news to me on Facebook. You messaged me a few days ago and let me know about Dusty dying. And when you and I were talking, we were just shocked. And it was just one of those moments, you know, you take, like I said, you take the great ones for granted. It's like you don't realize that they're all going to be gone one day. We're all going to be gone. No one gets out of this life alive. And it's one of those things that, you know, you look at the greats that you're in present with, you know, even with Diamond Dallas Page, you know, him being here and having him to talk to, and all the great wrestlers and people in your life. You don't want to take that for granted. You want to appreciate life and appreciate the people you have with you, and appreciate, you know, the presence of someone like Dusty Rhodes while you have it. 'Cause, you know, everyone's going to be gone. None of us are making it out alive. And but you never thought Dusty would – you never thought of Dusty as mortal. He was always larger than life. You always never thought of him in that you know, category before as a mortal being. He was Dusty Rhodes. He was a legend. And Dusty Rhodes may be gone, but dreams never die. The American dream never dies, and the legend of Dusty Rhodes will never die. So thank you, Robert, so much for getting Ray on with us tonight and sharing your Dusty stories as well. It was a fun show.
Oh, it definitely was.
And I guess for DDP Radio, my name is Mike Mullins. I'm with Robert McLaren. I just want to throw out real quick, we have a couple added DDP Yoga workshops I just want to let you guys know about. They are brand new. They were just announced. We have January 10th, 2016, Athena's Home Novelties, Hyatt Regency Newport, One Goat Island, Newport, Rhode Island, and also at Pure Yoga East, January 8th and January 9th, 2016 in New York. We've been there before. And my condolences go out to Ray, Lloyd, Luther Biggs, who we were just talking to, and Diamond Dallas Page. I know Dallas is really broken up about it, and there was no one bigger in his life when it comes to the wrestling business or personally than Dusty Rhodes. As he said in a million interviews, Jake the Snake and Dusty Rhodes were the guys who made Diamond Dallas Page who he is today. So without Dusty Rhodes, there would be no Diamond Dallas Page. And without Diamond Dallas Page, there would be no DDP Yoga. So probably none of us would be here talking to each other right now if it wasn't for Dusty Rhodes. So, Robert, thank you so much for joining us on the show and doing your thing and getting Ray on there with us. And I appreciate it, brother.
No problem, man.
And I guess there's only one fitting way to end this thing. So I'm going to say hit it.
American dream. He's just a common man.